Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues, commercial or pleasure, boat and crew. Petersburg Insurance offering asset protection on the water or at home.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Here.
Kurt?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
John Hogue?
Here.
John Haviland?
Here.
We have a full assembly today. Now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, next item on the agenda is approval of minutes, and the first minutes are from the regular meeting minutes of January 21st of 2014. I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to approve the minutes from January 21st, 2014. Any discussion? Any changes? Cindy?
There's just one minor change. I don't think anything was left out, but under item 10, it goes from A to C and there is no B.
Okay.
Is that because there was someone speaking? Actually, I think I caught that too in Kathy. She did it in order of what actually happened. So the B is later in the... Oh, well, never mind. I'll show you later.
Okay, just so long as you know.
Okay.
Okay, we good with that then? Okay, all those in favor of... approving the minutes from January 21st, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, now we're today's agenda. We need an amendment, if there is any, or approval of the meeting agenda for today. Mr. Hogue.
Mr. Mayor, I need to put something on the agenda, and I like to read it. I have to resign. And I would like to read my letter of resignation. It's to Mayor Jensen, members of the Assembly, dear folks. While most of my legal practice is doing volunteer work, occasionally I accept work from retained clients. I have found myself with two clients who have adverse interests to the borough. One issue may be resolvable through disclosure and abstaining from voter, that the other represents a potential violation of the charter which prohibits Assembly members from representing persons against the borough. One of my clients may have to be defended from a claim against the client by the borough. While other states, such conduct by a member of the legislature may be proper, Oregon is one of them, I have seen it abused elsewhere. I believe that elected officials should try to have their conduct be beyond a claim of impropriety. Therefore, I must resign my position with the Assembly effective at once. It saddens me to do so. While sometimes this job is thankless, it has been rewarding. If I'm requested to continue to serve the borough in a volunteer capacity, I'll be glad to do so.
Well, unfortunate, John. It's been good working with you, and I can understand your position. So,
okay.
Thanks for your time.
So much for a full assembly.
Yeah, I should open my mouth there, didn't I?
Say that. Well, Bob's been fun.
Okay, we're down to six. So we're back to approval or amendment of today's meeting agenda. Is there any more amendments? Hopefully no more like that. If not, I'd entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to approve today's meeting agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, it passes 6-0. We're on with the agenda as it is set. First item on the agenda under public hearings and bid awards, there's only one, I guess, is public hearing on ordinance number 2014-1. And that's an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.50 Hospital Board of the Municipal Code, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing provisions for the hospital board for the borough. This is the time now for comments by anybody in the public, if you'd like to comment on this ordinance. Okay, I don't see anybody jumping up to speak, so the public hearing on ordinance 2014-1 is now closed. Next item on the agenda is visitors' views related to items on the agenda today. Is there anybody with any views related to today's agenda items? Okay, seeing none. Any visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda? Okay, don't see any of those either. Today there is no board, commission, or committee reports. Nothing on the consent agenda. No report of other officers. So that brings us to the mayor's report. There's a vacancy announcement. Well, now there's going to be another one. We'll be entertaining letters of interest to fill Mr. Hoag's position on the assembly. So if anybody is interested, you contact the borough office or myself. There's a vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Residents interested in serving as a Planning Commission member until October 2014 election should submit a letter of interest to myself or the borough clerk. And one thing you need to keep in mind when you do this, if you're even looking for an appointment to an elected position in the borough, you have to fill out your APROC paperwork. And there's been a little confusion over that. So then we have a couple letters of interest. Barb Fish has submitted a letter of interest for the vacant position on the library board. So without any objection by the assembly, I'd like to accept her letter of interest and appoint her to the library board. And also we have a letter of interest from Stephen Samuelson, and he has submitted a letter of interest for the vacant position on the hospital board. Without any objections, I would like to appoint Steve Samuelson to the vacancy on the hospital board. Okay, you'll notify them, I guess, Debbie, thank you. Okay, item three on the mayor's report, reconsideration of rezoning requests. At the January 21st assembly meeting, no second was received to consider rezoning ordinances based on applications received and subsequently recommended for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Based upon Robert's Rules of Order and assembly meeting practice, failure to acquire a second to the motion resulted in the ordinances failing in their first reading, so they would go no farther. I believe the applicants of the rezoning request deserve formal consideration of the ordinances and should be provided reasons for any assembly determination on the requests. To accommodate the attendance of the applicants as well as Community Development Director Leo Luzak, I have rescheduled the first meeting of ordinances 2014-2 and 2014-3 to the March 17th, 2014 assembly meeting at 7 p.m. And I also intend to make sure that anybody else involved in this, the people that were voiced their opposition to it at the planning and zoning level, are notified and they could be present. Make sure everybody's present at the meeting. Rescheduling of the second meeting in February. A reminder that the second meeting for February will be held at noon, Friday 14th. Due to a lack of a quorum for the February 18th assembly meeting and to accommodate the assembly's review of drawing and cost estimates of the possible refurbishing of the municipal building prior to their submittal to the legislature with a request for funding. And also another little note, Thursday morning, Steve, our manager, and the manager from Wrangell, Jeff J. Bush, will get together. He's coming over, and we'll talk about the next move we think we should take to have SEPA take over Thomas Bay Power Authority. And just from that meeting, we'll come up with information that we'll come back to the assemblies with. They wrote us a letter. They're concerned that they've spent the $50,000 that they've appropriated for half the Thomas Bay Power Authority's budget, and we voted not to, and I'm sure we'll have that discussion with them as well. So we'll get back to you with what happens with our meeting with Mr. J. Bush. And that's it for the mayor's report. Now it's the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The North Harbor main floats 1 and 2 are in place. Contractors driving the piles to grade, as well as laying the water lines so the large fingers can get attached to the north side of float number 1. Anchor Electric is been working a lot of long hours, and they're actually ahead of schedule on the electrical components. Phase 2 of GLOW's Operation Sea Lion seems to be working. We've not seen the animals up on the floats like in the past, and or around the North Harbor. So there's a solar-powered electric fence and a mannequin set up on the airplane float. That seems to be keeping them off the facility. They tried moving over to the petrol float, and they set up a sprinkler system, which tended to chase them away. So for now, I think the big test is going to see what happens in the spring and summer. We're doing everything we can do within what the law allows at this point, hoping to keep them safely away from people and boats. On January 21st, Cameco and their subs and our engineer P&D and Glow and some of the harbor folks attended the pre-construction meeting for the drive-down dock. We should start to see activity in the next couple of weeks as they start to mobilize equipment and get stuff ready for that project. Sergeant Kerr is back from his recertification course and has met all of the state's training requirements in our police department. Officer King received a scholarship to attend training in Valdez. Training will focus on preparing for and responding to critical incidents within large facilities such as schools and hospitals. Scholarship is provided by the Alaska Police Standards Council. Sandy Ryan and three volunteers attended the Rural Trauma Team Development Course on January 17th in Petersburg. Again, this is stuff to keep our fire and EMS operations up to standards. The mill, Inc. is almost done with the planks for the Rasmussenge Bridge. Treated lumber was delivered to Petersburg last week, and Chris Cotta has been inspecting the materials to verify quantity and adherence to the bid specifications. If the weather continues to hold and the materials are all in good shape, we may actually be able to start the work soon. Carl's group did remove the chains from a couple of pieces of our equipment with the lack of snow, so they're trying to get some grading on the potholed roads done. We'll try to get the chains back on the equipment before temperatures cool off and any kind of snow forecast. It takes about 3 to 4 hours to get the chains on the vehicle, so it's kind of a bit of a guessing game to make sure we do it in a timely fashion and have them available for 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when the guys have to go out and start plowing roads. Alaska DOT will be holding a public meeting in the Assembly Chambers on the evening of February 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. The purpose is to discuss their plans for reconstruction of South Nordic Drive and Haugen Drive over the next 2 years. Interested borough personnel and members of the public are encouraged to attend. I know a lot of people have questions about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. It'd be a good meeting to attend. Our staff completed the review of the proposed discharge permit for processing wastewater. The cost of meeting the testing requirements of the new permit is estimated to be about $7,500, so we'll budget for that next year. These are just some increasing measurement standards that we'll have to follow to meet the reporting. Staff is also currently reviewing the 95% plans for the pipework portion of Pump Station 1 Force Main Relocation Project. This is the new Force Main and various gravity sewer upgrades will be included in the DOT South Nordic Drive project. And then we'll undertake needed improvements to the pump stations in a separate bid process and project. This is trying to make sure we do everything in conjunction with the road work so that we're not tearing up brand new roads. Once you're done. The recycling program is ready this week. We're getting more and more customers every day. I think we're well over 700 at this point, Carl, signed up. People can still sign up at Public Works and the finance office. And for those of you who have not done it yet, all customers should start using their blue bags, and starting February 3rd, they can set them out for collection on their garbage day. So, continue letting us know how that works, but it looks like it's going to be a real success for everyone. Crystal Lake is full, even spilled for a couple of days, and we're generating at maximum out there. So the rain did its number, and I believe Tyee, I haven't seen the report yet, but I believe Tyee and Swan are both full to the point that Ketchikan is off of diesels and not having to, so that was a good thing for them. The losing bid contestants have been selected, and the contest is ready to go through Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is also working with the school and GCI to create a weekly community live TV show to update the community on events and interviewing local folks. We'll begin with interviewing our Losing Big contestants and videoing the health and wellness seminars. So that'll begin through GCI and with some help from the videography class at the school. We're still holding the final payment on the library project, pending some punch list items. Probably the biggest thing on the list is the floor in the community room. Looks like the schedule on that is February 14th through the 18th. Library will be open, but that room will be closed when the contractor gets in here to finish that floor up. Hopefully that, as well as some of the other punch list items, will finish up and we can pay them and close out that grant. The replacement of the rain gutters on the community gym is postponed until later in the year. We just ran into some scheduling problems on that. The draft RFP for the Borough Comprehensive Plan is in its final stages of pre-review before the Assembly gets it. We hope to have it to the Assembly for review and approval either February or March. I'm going to give you a lot of time with it. It's complex, and this is the what we would be sending out to the world to say, please bid on the job. So it's real important to get it just right. It tells us what our deliverables are. What do we want to expect to accomplish with the plan? So definitely want to hear from the Assembly on that. Use of the library's passport service is on the rise, with an average of half a dozen passports applications being accepted per week. Hope that means not everybody's leaving town, but it's been a busy part of their role these days. They took over the community passport acceptance agent in 2010 when no other local agency was going to offer the service. So we've got our folks trained up there to handle that. And the library received a continuing education grant from the Alaska State Library that will allow us to send one staff member to the annual American Library Association conference. And that's it, unless you have questions.
Any questions of the manager on his report today? Okay. That brings us to unfinished business on the agenda. And first item is the ordinance 2014-1, excuse me, an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.5, the Hospital Board of the Municipal Code, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing provisions for the Hospital Board for the borough. This is the second reading. The Hospital Board has requested language with respect to capital projects be included in the ordinance. Section 3.5.080E has been amended since the first reading to repeat the charter requirement that the board prepare and submit a six-year capital project improvements plan for equipment and buildings. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
I'll second.
Moved by Member Havlick, seconded by Member Lagadakis to adopt ordinance 2014-1 in its second reading. Discussion on the ordinance? Mr. Haverlick.
Mr. Mayor, I'm still concerned on this ordinance doesn't give either the hospital or the or us direction on who does what, when, how. In, you know, sort of a, yeah, I would like to see, because I'm not a very creative person, and Smart John just left, so you guys are stuck with me. But what I'm concerned about is there's no delineations, and I'd like, this seems all in a gray area, and I would like something just, you know, very simplistic, saying that the relationship between the hospital and the borough is that we're the landlords, they're the tenants of the building, or and, you know, and I really like the idea of the capital projects being put in with this. It's the same as the school. But, or, you know, or something else saying that we give the hospital the building to them for a dollar, and then they're in charge of everything. Or my least favorite, something I'd vote against, is saying that it's an ordinance that states something like that they are like an enterprise fund, and they're under the borough, and we have the direction on how they run. You know, with what we have now, you know, just with a simple example is like the hospital roof. Even though it was a capital project, the money's going through us, who's really in charge of making sure it was put in right and that it's, you know, paid for in that? Because I know the company that put it in, we had a little bit of trouble with on the manor. It was the same company. And is the project going well, or, you know, we're responsible for the funds. And I talked with Tom a week or so ago. He said, Jensen Yorba Lot has an inspector that they're going to put up there now. But what if they wouldn't have done that? Who's responsible? That's why I'd like something more specific.
So I guess at this point, we'd have to have some kind of a direct amendment to what we are voting on in front of us, or just mm-hmm. if you're not in favor of the way it is, then...
Well, my motion would be the first is that the relationship between the borough and the hospital is that we're the landlords and they're the tenants. And that's how it should work, you know, as a tenant-landlord relationship.
So are you making that in the form of a motion to change that or add that to the...
That be the ordinance. You know,
that's it.
Something as simple as that, yes, sir.
So I don't know how to proceed with that from here. Mr. Walter?
Mr. Mayor, just a comment on that. I'd be a little confused on, even though I might have coined that phrase earlier on tenant and landlord relationship, or, you know, in our meeting mm-hmm. A while back, but that doesn't seem specific enough. You know, I mean, if I were to be a landlord and I own a house and the refrigerator goes bad, then they come to me and say the refrigerator's, and they just walk out of the house. It means I've got to remove the refrigerator, I got to pay for the refrigerator, that kind of thing. So,
right.
So what, I don't know how that clarifies our relationship with them if we say we're just a tenant. I mean, I'm not opposed to that language, I'm just saying I don't see where the clarity is for me anyway.
Well, to me it would mean that we're basically, it wouldn't be as... like you're mentioning refrigerating that we're basically responsible for the building. And like any tenant, they have to, you know, keep it up and take care of, you know, the insides of it. But if there's any major disaster, then it's up to the borough to take care of it, which I think is basically what we're doing now. But I was just in talking with people, I don't think one really knows what's responsible for the other. And looking at this ordinance, I'd feel uncomfortable going to Steve and saying, well, take care of this. Because I don't think this ordinance is giving any of us the direction to know what we should take care of and what the hospital should take care of.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, just to clarify something Assemblymember Haverlick said. Today, the borough pays little to nothing towards the maintenance of the hospital.
Right.
We do not pay for anything at this point. The hospital has taken that on themselves. So.
Okay, thanks. Any other, Mr. Lynn?
I got a question for John. If you were to establish it as an enterprise fund, what would you have in mind or similar to it?
You know, it would be just like the other department heads report to the city manager on, you know, the finances, the budget. You know, we'd be part of all of that, just like we are with the enterprise funds. And like I said, that would be the last thing I'd like to see, you know. But it does spell out what's going on. And I just don't think we even with the wording in this ordinance, I don't think it clarifies who's responsible for what. And I agree with Steve that, you know, we don't pay for much of it now, and maybe we need to spell that out, just like in any lease of a tenant-landlord lease, who's responsible for what. But right now, I don't think any of us know where the lines are drawn. And I don't think this ordinance helps that.
Mr. Mayor.
Cindy.
I'm trying to get a handle on what exactly you want out of this. Because I think the lawyer was pretty clear that there were some advantages to not having a very clear situation at this point, just because of the way that we're set up. That there's disadvantages to saying that we're all one way or all the other, that the hospital is a separate entity or it's part of the borough. So we kind of get the benefit of the gray area. What I'm wondering is if we said in this document that the hospital board operates as an agent of the borough, and then it spells out all of their responsibilities in this ordinance already, if that would satisfy your concern.
Well, I know before we get too much farther, we're addressing the second reading of this ordinance as it's presented to us today, and if we don't, I know we're having a good discussion on this topic, but if we don't have a specific amendment with a second on how we're going to change it, I think we're going to end up voting on this ordinance like it's presented to us, and if a person isn't happy with it, then if you voted it down, then it would have to be, you know, redrafted and brought back to the assembly. I just was going to throw that out there. So, Nancy?
Where does it say? Tell me again about the part about the greatest possible autonomy.
That's in our charter.
It's in the charter?
So the charter would have to be
changed. It's not a matter of just changing the ordinance.
No.
So it seems to me like we should go on with the second reading and.
Yeah.
Mr. Lim? No.
I wanted to go back to the charter because that's exactly what it says. It said, shall operate and maintain an area-wide medical service and hospital facility for the borough. Medical center shall be operated by a hospital board of 7 members, and then it goes on to describe that. So it says pretty much autonomous, and that's what was, when we had, when we developed the charter, that's essentially the way the folks wanted to see it. So we would have to change the charter as I see it.
And if you look at the current ordinance that we're operating under until this passes or fails, I guess if it fails, we'll still be operating under the city one. It's a page long. You know, so this one has a lot more detail in it and a lot more explanation. So I guess we'll just go on with the discussion as long as people want to discuss it. But I think we're going to have to come to a point where we vote on the second reading and then see where it goes from there.
I call for the question.
Was there more discussion?
I had just one comment here. John, would under powers of respect to property, 3.501060, section letter A, kind of spells out that the custody of the hospital buildings and associated facilities of the real property on which the hospital buildings and associated facilities are situated, together with all other improvements to the real property and all personal property, including equipment, furnishings, and supplies, are entrusted to the hospital board. Does that exonerate us from having to pick up the tab on anything in the future?
I don't know. I mean, I know this is how it was drafted and gone through by our borough attorney and presented to us, and that's why we had the joint work session with the hospital board and the assembly to try to, in my mind, was to iron this stuff out before it got to this point. And not that, you know, people still can't have disagreements with the way it is. I mean, that's just part of the procedure. But
Mr. Mayor, I have one thing that would, I think, would take my fears away. Just a question for Steve and Liz. Do you have any problems with knowing who's responsible for what under this ordinance? Are you both totally clear of who does what?
Well, right now, the hospital board.
Excuse me, Liz, can you please come to the microphone and respond? State your name and who you represent, please. Everything has to be on record, you know.
My name is Liz Woodyard, and I'm the CEO at Petersburg Medical Center. And right now, of course, the board is the board that gives me direction to run the day-to-day operations of the facility. And as far as the building and the maintenance go, I'm pretty clear that, you know, the building belongs to the borough, and but that the operations are the responsibility of the boards. The issue is, as you were mentioning, the roof is that we were able to get, you know, a grant to do the roof because we're part of the borough, so we made it to the list. There will be like an $80,000 shortfall, and that comes back to the hospital. So and my whole wish or desire to have this conversation in the first place is that it is a community hospital, and it serves the needs of everybody in the community. And we all know that we need a hospital in the community. And we all know that the building is getting older. And we all know that the price of equipment and, you know, like a digital mammography might be a couple $100,000. And, you know, we're planning to stay here for a long, long time, and I know everybody wants to have a hospital that has the best equipment and meets the needs of our patients so that we can continue to function for years and years and years to come. At some point, you know, things go wrong. I mean, the building is old. It needs to be repaired. Just last week, we had to put a new freezer in the kitchen. The compressor went out. So those are things like, if it was a true tenant landlord, you know, would the landlord pick that up? And many communities have, you know, that are municipally owned, have a relationship between their hospitals where they let them run them, but, you know, they allocate a certain amount of percentage of a sales tax or a property tax to help the hospital buy new equipment, to repair the carpet, you know, that frayed, or the walls that need painted. We have a very old wing that's our long-term care wing, and at some point we'd really like to make that better for our residents. Our shower room, Jennifer can probably attest to this, it's not conducive, and it's our residents' homes. And so, you know, first and foremost, you know, I really care about every single patient and resident that comes there. The residents live there. It's their home. And so I think engaging in the conversation originally was around how can we assure that in the years to come, we'll have a community hospital that meets the needs of everybody in the community. And, you know, today we're probably fine, you know, and but long after I'm gone, I would like to make sure that the community has a good hospital and that can meet the needs, and that we can recruit and retain employees that want to work there. So to answer your question, yes, I'm pretty confident that I know what our responsibility is today. And Steve and I talk about issues, you know, and concerns, and we brainstorm, you know, but it's a collegial relationship that we have. But I definitely know right now what our responsibilities are.
Thank you. Steve, do you have any input?
Nothing else to really add. I mean, the challenge with this whole issue has been trying to respond to, you know, various assembly member questions in relationship to how the ordinance was originally written. This one does a decent job explaining some of those issues that were predominantly brought forward by the assembly members that said this was an issue or a question. You know, the whole tenant-landlord thing, I mean, if the assembly and the hospital board wanted to go that direction, this is not the right ordinance to do that. I mean, that would need to be substantially changed. You know, today, it's a very unique relationship. The hospital, I mean, by charter, is expected to run autonomously. We've outlined some things that are more related to just kind of reminders than they are about how you must operate. But then there's the whole issue of, you know, at this point, the hospital is responsible for maintaining their own buildings. So it's a tenant relationship in a sense that's for the full advantage of the borough, in the sense that we're not having to give them money to maintain things right now. Liz is correct. I don't know if anybody's priced what it takes to build a new hospital or even do major remodels, and it's millions upon millions of dollars. That's going to have to be dealt with at some point.
Mr. Mayor, if both the administrators are comfortable, I withdraw my motion.
Okay. We're just under discussion on the second reading of Ordinance 2014-1. Is there any more discussion by assembly members on this second reading? Okay, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Ordinance 2014-1 passes unanimously. Next item under unfinished business is consideration of administrative changes to the landfill salvage program that would eliminate private commercial profiteering from metals in the landfill scrap pile. I'd entertain a motion to take action on this and to give the administration direction.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Lagodakis, seconded by Member Haverlick, to discuss this and vote on the administrative changes to the landfill salvage program. Any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Curry?
No.
And let me clarify.
Yes.
Excuse me.
This is first reading?
This is it. This is a consideration of administrative changes to the landfill program that would eliminate private commercial profiteering from metals in the landfill. So maybe I should have clarified this before we started taking the vote. If you vote yes for it, the salvage program's gone. So if you vote no for it, I would imagine, if I'm reading this right, the salvage program stays as is. Is that correct?
Yeah, what was yes is?
Yes is to eliminate the salvage program for private profiteering from metal in the landfill. A yes vote is, and a no vote would mean it stays like it is. Is that?
Yes.
Sound good? This and Debbie, thanks. Okay, can we start the vote over? Roll call vote. Sorry.
No.
Thank you.
Nancy? Still yes.
Thank you. Bob?
No.
Cindy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Mark?
No. Okay, it fails. So it's going to be changed, is the way I would read that. Is that right, or does it stay the same? No, it stays the same.
It stays the same. Yes.
Okay, now we got that straight. Next item, with very little confusion, as you can see. Next item is general appeal of the Petersburg Borough boundaries, and there's no court decision yet, so we're just waiting for news there. Next item on the agenda is new business. An ordinance providing for Title II elections of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. The ordinance retains all processes and functions for in-person voting that our residents are accustomed to. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this in its first reading.
So move.
Is there a second? Okay, it's moved by Member Pavlik, seconded by Member Walherter to adopt Ordinance 2014-4. Discussion? Bob?
Yeah, I'd like to go to 2.44.020, I think it is. 020. In that particular section.
What was that again, Bob? 2.04?
2.44. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2.44.020. And what I'd like to look at is Section B, the one that was added. Where it talks about a matter to be proposed by initiative must be limited to a single comprehensive subject. Who determines if it's a comprehensive subject? And how do you define a comprehensive subject?
What section is that again? Sorry, it took me a while to get
2.44.020, application for petition.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Item B, the addition that's there. Where it starts, a matter to be proposed by initiative must be limited to a single comprehensive subject.
Okay,
must relate to a legislative rather than to an administrative matter, may not include subject restricted by 2.44.010, and must be enforceable as a matter of law. My two questions is how do you define comprehensive, and who makes that determination?
Mr. Mayor.
Can you answer that?
Not really. I know the attorney is the one who added that, but I don't know the background.
Is that in, are they talking about adding things onto the ballot?
Yeah.
When they're talking about that, who decides what's going to be on the ballot?
This is for a citizens to come forward, mm-hmm. Okay? This is the whole section where a citizen come forward and is trying to define what would, you know, what they could bring forward, okay? And what my question is if I wanted to bring an issue, or let's say a citizen sitting here come forward with an issue or with a petition, mm-hmm. And what is a comprehensive, you know, what's comprehensive? I don't understand a comprehensive subject. Are we talking about if a citizen come forward and say, I want to privatize all the landfill, for instance? Is that a comprehensive? I don't understand why we're going after.
Do you think they mean if it's something that's easily understood that could be enforced by law? Is that what they get back to the Section 2.? Without asking our attorney, I don't know.
Right. I don't know the answer to my question. That's why I'm bringing it up, because this whole section, this B part, bothers me. I think I didn't have any problem with A, and that's the way it was in the original with the changes. But B, I would propose that we drop, because I don't understand what it says. And if I was a citizen out there and trying to bring a proposal forward for vote, you know, to put on the ballot to vote. And you really want to be ornery about it, you know, you say, well, this is not comprehensive.
Right.
Cindy,
do you have input?
My only point is, I understand what you're saying, Bob. I think the point of this section was really more focused on limit to a single subject, and it's unfortunate that comprehensive is in there because I think it confuses the discussion, that they want to make sure that any initiative doesn't cover three or four different subjects.
Do you want to?
Well, I'm confused about the difference between an initiative and a referendum. So I hesitate to delete something that is part of the definition of what's an initiative without... I'm okay with taking comprehensive out.
You know, another way we may approach this is to adopt it as it is written and amend it in the second reading after we talk to our attorney and get an explanation. Was that, I mean, is that something we could do? Because once we amend it, and if we do amend it and take this language out of it, I suppose we could put it back in, but it seems like it would make more sense to maybe, I mean, does that work for you, Bob? I know you're concerned about it. I'm not trying to...
Yeah, it does work, but to answer Nancy, initiatives were covered under another section there, Nancy, just for information.
Well, it was never
talks about petition,
clear.
And then the think 2.44090 or 090 talks about initiative elections. So, I mean, they're broken up a bit. But anyhow, yes, that would work for me to answer your question.
But, yeah, I didn't catch that when I read through it. I kind of got the gist of what they were saying, but... What does comprehensive mean?
Yeah, and then as I say, who makes the determination of comprehensive? That's the other part of that issue that I have.
So,
Mr. Mayor, could that possibly mean, you know, explained well enough that anybody could understand it?
That
could be that way too.
You know, I mean, I'd like to think that that's what it is.
So I guess we could do what we were talking about here. When I brought up, we could vote on that as it is and get a hold of our Brennan's office and have them explain what that is, and if you know, and then we could have that at our next meeting. If we don't like it, we could
amend it.
Yeah. So, any other discussion? Does that work, Debbie? Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Have to go scroll back through all the pages. I forgot the number of the ordinance. It's ordinance 2014-04. It's the first reading on elections. Any more discussion? If not, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
And Cindy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, it passes unanimously. Next ordinance today is an ordinance providing for Title 10 Criminal Code of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. This ordinance has been revised to remove outdated and unused portions of the previous code. Also, portions of the code have been updated to allow the police department to process minor crimes as borough ordinance violations. Under this revision, officers would have the discretion to issue a borough citation in lieu of arrest for common offenses. Allowing for the disposition of cases in this manner will provide defendants with a speedier process and will reduce the amount of police, prosecutor, and court resources needed to process what were traditionally criminal cases. Nothing in this revision prevents officers from making physical arrests and processing criminal violations in the current manner. Other revisions include the adoption of current state watercraft statutes similar to the borough's previous adoption of traffic administration codes and statutes. I'd entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2014-5 in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Second.
Moved by Member Havlick, seconded by Member Walherter to adopt ordinance 2014-5. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Lent.
Let's turn to 10.16.01VI, or item 6, if you will. And that's been revised, and it says, by failing to make required deposition of funds received or held when the person obtains property or personal services from another subject to a legal obligation to make payment or disposition and fails to make the required payment or disposition when property does not in the aggregate exceed in value the sum of, they have $500. When I got done reading this, I am still not, I'm not sure what was intended and why $500.
What page is that on?
The one I have is page 56. I don't know if that.
And the number again is, Bob? I can't.
Go to 10, it's 10.16.010, item 6, VI.
This is where a paper copy would be happy to just flip, or help you just flip to the page instead of trying to. Okay. Found it.
You got it?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
First of all, I'm trying to understand what it said. Second of all, I was trying to understand why the 500 or.
Would you like me to speak to that, Mr. Mayor?
Could you, Kelly?
This mayor, this mirrors the state's theory of effective services, failing to pay a hotel bill or the payment for a cab ride, something of that nature. So it mirrors the state statute that's there already. The $500 amount is what the state caps. It's the boundary between a misdemeanor and felony level crime. So misdemeanor theft is under 500, felony theft is over 500. This allows us to write a ticket for those misdemeanor thefts if we choose, rather than process that as a crime with a police report, charging documents, courts, prosecutors, and that.
Does that clarify it?
That helps. The language I have a problem with because I read it about five times and I still don't understand it. But, let me move on then. Maybe you can answer a couple other questions. Move to 10.16.040, trespassing. And it is unlawful for any person to knowingly, you switch it from willfully to knowingly in there. And when I think about that from my own standpoint, is I've knowingly gone on other people's property, you know, I've cut trees with their permission. Is there a reason for the language change or why you chose to go that way, to knowingly versus to willfully?
Knowingly is a state-defined culpable mental state. Willfully is not. So the state recognizes the term knowingly. To have a crime or a violation, you have to have two separate acts or two separate angles. You have to have the actual action, and you have to have the intent or the culpable mental state. Knowingly is just, I assume it's very similar, but knowingly is defined and recognized by the state.
Okay.
Thanks for is that good?
I got one other item then. I'd like to go to 10.20.20, discharge of firearms. And would it be possible to add an item in here, and let me explain what I'm thinking, is that we've run into the situation where we have people headed down the narrows in boats, see a critter up there, take a shot across people's residential property and so forth, and you know, endangering folks. In fact, inhabit those properties. Is there a possibility of adding something to that extent in that section in 10.20.20? Yeah, it's all, and then it says it's unlawful for any person to shoot, release, throw, or otherwise discharge any firearm or weapon at or in the direction of a resident. Oh, okay, maybe it's already covered there, in residential dwelling or other, with recklessly disregard. The concern was it's from a boat or from, you know, from the shore, but it doesn't cover boats is what it doesn't cover. Thanks.
Mr. Swinner, do you think this would cover that if someone was shooting out of a boat, if it was in the direction of a resident or dwelling that would be unlawful? It seems to me like it would be, but I mean, does this make it enforceable?
It would, yes. Okay.
Does that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any other discussion on Ordinance 2014-5? None. Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, 2014-5 passes unanimously in its first reading. That brings us to landfill slope stabilization project, change order number one. It might be, I'll entertain a motion to adopt this.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved by Member Havlick, seconded by Member Lagadakis to approve the slope stabilization project change order number one. Maybe, Carl, could you just give us a brief explanation about what it is, please?
Sure, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. This is kind of catching up to the issue that we had when the dredging started, and the character of the dredge spoils coming from the North Harbor were much different than we anticipated. So we did request a proposal from the contractor to contain the more fluid dredge spoils than we thought. And at the time, I was out of town, but through email and phone calls with the manager, came to an understanding or consensus that the Assembly was in favor of moving forward with the proposal, mostly in order not to impact the schedule in the North Harbor dredging. This is catching up with that and paying the contractor for the rock that belonged to the borough that they hauled and placed to contain the dredge spoils.
Okay. That's a pretty good explanation of it. So it's work that's already been done, and you need to pay for it.
The contractor was given a notice to proceed on their proposal, and he performed the work.
All right. Any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously. Communications is the next item on today's agenda. I received a letter from the Ketchikan Borough asking for possible support to help with their lawsuit against the state in regards to school funding. Ketchikan is asking for help in three areas: political support, legal support, and financial support. The letter was dated January 24th of 2014. I've given the full copy of the letter to the clerk. If anybody wants to read it, she'll have it. This was brought before us another time. I don't know if it reached the council level. It would have been the council at the time, but I believe it was a couple years ago when the borough manager in Ketchikan was pushing this issue. And our school superintendent looked at it, and he didn't think at that time it fit, you know, for us to help. So maybe, I know if you read the letter, it's if they pursued the whole lawsuit, it would cost them, you know, multiple millions of dollars, and but they're still pursuing the parts of it in the letter, as it explains, that they thought was necessary. So maybe it'll come back before us if we think it's worthy. But I just thought I'd pass along that I had that communication, and I should probably read the letter that give you more information on it. That's all I have for communications. Is there any communications by other Assembly members? Seeing none, that brings us to Assembly discussion items, and recognitions is the first item under that. Is there any recognitions today? Any staff have recognitions? Well, Cindy?
I do have one. and I apologize for being typhoid Mary today, but I just came back from Seattle last week, and I happened to sit next to Allison Sartori, who is a juvenile probation officer for the state of Alaska. And we got into a conversation about what she does. She's based out of Craig, and she services communities in Southeast Alaska, including Petersburg. And she passed along, without my solicitation, her deep appreciation of both Chief Swihart and Carly Byerer at the school for their assistance in working with juveniles who have gotten in trouble with the law and need some assistance in kind of working through their various things that they have to do and to try and turn that situation around. So I wanted to thank Chief Swihart publicly, and also Carly at the school. Okay. For their involvement in that.
Thank you. Cindy, is there any other recognitions by Assembly members of anybody? Any staff have recognitions of their employees? Or this wouldn't be your employees, but your workers. Okay, that brings us to an item that Assembly Member Hoag requested, was discussion of the possibility of borough charter amendments. And I don't know without him being here exactly what he had in mind. So I kind of think it might have had something to do with the hospital board and the autonomy situation, but anybody have any thoughts on that? Then I guess we won't be discussing that item. That brings us to item 17, the favorite one of the day, motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues, commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance offering asset protection on the water or at home.